mean, here's the deal, people. Let's just have some plain talk for a minute here. Your team choked. Your two of your core forwards couldn't put the puck in the ocean from a pier. It's the same old story with the Toronto Maple Leafs. It really is. But you know what the beauty thing of all this is? About the choking and the suckitude and the fact that a clearly inferior team is going on to play another team that is more inferior to the Leafs. And the Leafs are going to be in the golf course. Maybe the premier knew that was going to happen when he opened the golf courses earlier. Do you know what the best thing about all this is? Not a damn thing's going to change in the next hour. No one's going to be fired. Don't think. No one's going to quit. Mitchie's still not going to score. Huh? Joe Thornton's still not going to be able to catch up to anybody. Nothing's going to change. Front office isn't going to change. So why don't you just sit back and enjoy some baseball talk?
Yeah, welcome to for Baseball the next Central, hour. Everybody.
And then when Brunt joins me, and we'll throw the flame retardant material up in this place, and we'll open the phone lines, then you can light everybody up. Barker, how many years have you been in this city?
At least 10.
All right. And every day, well, it's different now because of the pandemic, but usually we have the same text exchange after the Leafs get eliminated, right? And that is, are they even going to have our show today?
That's exactly what it is.
Are you sure we're having a show today? Rest assured, we're going to talk baseball for the next hour. Verna Wells will join us. Nothing's going to change. It's over. You can't do a damn thing about it. Yeah, you just can't. You can't. Nothing's going to happen.
Maybe you'll see one of them on the golf course.
Maybe you'll see one of them on the golf course. Exactly. Buy them a beer because they got nothing else to do tonight.
No, make them buy you a beer.
Make them buy you a beer.
There you go. It's the least you could do. I had to watch you play.
Oh, come on. Come on. You guys know how to handle this. I mean, you do. Just sit back, relax. It's all going to be fine.
Is it?
I don't know. The Toronto Blue Jays are here to take away all the pain, all the suffering. It's 2021. 67 is 33 to get to 2000. And so 33, it's over 50 years they haven't won a Stanley.
Yeah, at least until Charlie hands the ball to somebody at 6 2/3.
That's right.
At least for the first six innings of the game, you'd be all right. After that, you'll be fine. You may want to turn the chat.
I was going to say around the sixth inning, when you see Tyler Chatwood coming in with his can of gasoline to light the place up, you may want to go. Come on. No, this is positive.
Ball
the next
four.
Hour of positivity.
Ball eight.
The Jays are back in Buffalo.
Just a bit outside.
the Jays are back in Buffalo. They're home away from home. Pretty nice digs, by the way, man. Did you see the work they did on that place?
How could you not see it? Oh.
Give me some happy Buffalo Bisons when this team is back here.
I guess. Yeah, look, the Blue Jays, Buffalo, the owners of the Bisons, they've done everything possible to make that as comfortable as possible for the Toronto Blue Jays. Now it's... Yeah, you're trying to make the most of it. Try and keep the ball in the yard as much as you can if you're a pitcher. And you try to hit as many home runs as you can if you're in the lineup. That's what you do, right? You get a bunch of blooping bombs.
Mm.
Win a bunch of games that way, and then hopefully by September they're in the race. And me and you are going to the games, the Rogers Center.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Oh. Yeah, I'm ready for that.
Me too.
I'm ready for that.
You think it'll happen?
Yeah, I do. We had the mayor on yesterday. I think you're going to see games in Toronto this year.
Hmm.
I don't know how many fans are going to be in the stands, but I've been wrong about that, just as I was wrong in saying the Leafs are going to win in five. I've been wrong about a lot of things because I'm on Sports Talk Radio.
Maybe you should buy everybody a beer.
I'm not buying anybody a beer.
Yeah, we know that.
Look at his body.
It's his body. It is ripped. It's the new you.
Oh, man.
It's the new you. Light beer.
No.
Light beer.
No. Light beer is like Diet Coke. It's just the stupidest thing in the... Light beer is just... If you're going to have a beer, have a beer. Don't have light beer. Like, seriously. Commit. You know what light beer is? Light beer is what the Toronto Maple Leafs drink. Light beer is what they were all drinking after they choked. It is. You don't want to go all the way. You don't want to go all the way with the high test stuff. Let's go with the low cows. Let's go with the low cows.
Now, you know you're using up all your ammo here for Baseball Central. You still got 2 hours after this show to talk about the Leafs.
Al Brunson here. Brent will say all the intelligence stuff. Nothing's going to change.
All the big words.
All the words with more than one syllable. Nothing's going to change. Really?
I do that with my son. With the syllables. That's it.
All right. We got Blue Jays baseball tonight. First of two games in Buffalo.
Yep.
Against the Miami Marlins. The Marlins are going to be featuring some good pitching.
Some decent stuff, yeah.
Decent pitching.
Yeah.
The Jays are going to be featuring some good
pitching.
Well,
for the first six innings.
You got to get off that. You got to get off that.
Am I lying?
They've had a day off, and the bullpen is rested. Wait a minute.
At least two of them is.
Oh, geez, I forgot. Now they're well rested. They've had a day off. What could go wrong?
We shouldn't poke fun.
No, we shouldn't, because the bullpen was great for the first month of the season, and its ERA doubled in the last month.
And then David Phelps got hurt, and...
There you go.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we need to be a
serious.
A little more.
Well, you started off the show on a very bad note.
No, I started off in a good note.
You did on a bad note.
I started off in a good note. I'm trying to, I'm aware of what I have to do today. Because of the particularly delicate situation we find ourselves in.
So you ain't walking anybody off no plank today is what you're saying.
I think, I am going to say, I've said this several times about Leafs fans, and I'm going to continue to say it. And I'm saying it as someone, by the way, admittedly, who has not gone on social media today. But I still think, this is the most realistic fan base in Toronto. I always tell people all this stuff about, the Leafs are 1-2 in a row. People are planning the parade. Nope, not the Leafs fans I know. Leafs fans I know are waiting for the next catastrophe. They are waiting for the next catastrophe. I'm sure they will handle this in the appropriate manner. So let's move on. You threw some numbers out. About the Blue Jays, about who they're facing, Sandy Alcantara.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether it made me feel really optimistic. Actually, it didn't. Give me those numbers.
It didn't help.
No, it didn't.
Okay, The Blue Jays offense, they're very good.
You took the Joe out of my mojo.
You're going to, especially in that small ballpark in Buffalo. Oh, the ball flies line
okay,
to
right
line.
Okay, right there. Let's go that. Thank you. I got carried away with myself. The difference between this ballpark and what we saw in Dunedin is what?
Well, it's not going to be one-sided. You're not going to be seeing the guys all trying to go to one side of the field.
Okay.
It's okay to look and hit it where it's pitched.
Okay.
It's that riff. It's in, you pull it. Yeah. If it's down the middle, you can do what you want with it. It's away, you try and go away with it. Because if you get a little backspin to it, I played in that park a lot. The ball in the summer.
More than you want to remember.
Exactly right. The ball, unless it's April, May, if it's June like it is now, line to line, the ball flies there. You add a little backspin, and as strong as these boys are, it's not going to take much, and that'll gain a lot of confidence for everybody. And yeah. So, it's a good place to hit in. Back leg cities. There you go.
Is it going to play differently with this team? Having the approach that this team has this year, and this team is more opposite field, up the middle, than last year's team. That's not going to happen.
I think that's a good thing. That keeps you inside the baseball. Okay. That gets you a little shorter and quicker to the baseball. That you're quieter with your lower half, unless you're Bo Bichette. It's direction of where you want the baseball to go. It's a mindset. It's not actually that's where the ball's going, but that just keeps you on the ball a little longer. It allows you to see the ball a little longer. It allows you to recognize whether it's a strike or a ball, or whether it's a breaking ball or a fastball. Sandy Alcantara tonight, he throws a lot of changeups. Got a good one. League against the changeup versus him is what? I just had it in front of me. They're hitting 107 off his changeup. He is a four seam changeup guy. The average on the fastball is 257. The average on the changeup I just mentioned is 107. He throws the changeup 68% of the time for a strike. Do you want to go up and look changeup? I don't. Good changeup is a good changeup for a reason, because the arm speed's good. It's very hard to tell the difference between the fastball and the changeup. I just think you got to see him up. He throws hard, you know, mid-90s. Who doesn't?
So you're looking location instead of pitching this dude.
Well, you look right down. If I'm hitting today, I look right down the middle all the time. But I'm different than those guys. You know, the Blue Jays lineup, again, is a very good hitting lineup. And to further my point, you know who leads baseball hitting against a right-handed pitcher? The Toronto Blue Jays are hitting 260 off a right-handed pitcher. That's first in baseball.
Which is something considering how many, considering how many right-handed hitters they have.
Exactly right. League average is 233. That's really good, right? They're hitting 260, league average 233. Guess who leads baseball on hitting average-wise on first pitches? Toronto Blue Jays at 398. League average is 337. Average against the fastball. Now, if anybody's ever listened to me talk, what have I always said? You got to hit the fastball first. You want to be a good hitter? You hit that first, you keep hitting a heater, you're going to get some hanging breaking balls, because they're going to start aiming some pitches because of how good you're hitting the fastball. Guess who leads baseball at hitting the fastball, Jeff?
Yankees.
Glad you asked. The Toronto Blue Jays are hitting 282. League average is 257. So point here is, don't change a thing. Mm. You go into a ballpark that's friendly when it comes to the offensive side of the baseball. You know, you can be a little late and still get rewarded for what you're doing in that ballpark if you're a right-handed hitter. So don't change a thing. Keep the same approach of, I'm going to zone up. I'm going to get my pitch. If I like it middle away, I'm going to look middle away. I'm going to get a little elevated because of the changeup. Sandy's got a good one. Get it a little elevated. Level out your swing. Get it ready with an athletic position with that front foot. Drive down and through the baseball. Let the ball go where it may. Now, on the flip side of that, guess who is...
Well, there's only two answers here. Because you wouldn't be reading this out if it was the Phillies.
There you go. Guess who is 27th in baseball?
It's the easiest game in the world.
Not really. Guess who is 27th in baseball at hitting a fastball of 95-plus?
Well, the Jays.
No, the Marlins are hitting 209. League average is 230. Guess who throws a little over 95 miles an hour?
One Mr. Robbie Ray.
There you go. So you guess who is hitting?
Oh, stop with the guess who.
Guess who's 25th in baseball at hitting 186 against the breaking ball? That is the Miami Marlins. Guess who is throwing more sliders in May?
The Marlins.
Robbie Ray.
Okay.
So my point is, maybe that he eliminates the bullpen, makes it a little easier for Charlie to say, okay, I got two guys that arrested my best two guys. Eighth and ninth inning, I got that sewn up. You got the first seven? I'll take care of the last two.
Nine earned runs for Robbie Ray over the last 17 and a third innings. Any concern?
No, keep it in the yard. Don't throw the fastball down the middle. He doesn't throw the ball down the middle. You're going to give up a homer. Guys are cheating a little bit to get to your heater. You're a max effort guy. Location is key for you, especially down the middle. He has an exploding fastball. Spin rate on his fastball, that's not how he gets people out. He gets people out because it explodes, and he locates it in, and he can elevate it. Just don't throw it down the middle, and be good with your slider. Have it come down to the same tunnel. Have the tunnel a little longer where it's hard to separate and know if it's a slider, if it's the four-seamer. He locates both of those with the stats I just mentioned. I read off those stats for a reason, because of who's pitching today. They should get off to a good start on the homestand, right? You have a good approach against Sandy, getting the changeup up, swinging a strike. He's going to throw a bunch of strikes, throws his changeup a lot for strikes. See it up, stay in the big part of the field, score some runs. Robbie Ray, keep the other team from scoring. Sounds like a winner to me.
Is this, do you think, the fact that the Jays are in Buffalo, and it's where they were last year, and they enjoyed, you know, a fair amount of success last year. Is this going to feel more like home for them? Like, are you buying that thing? Charlie talked about this, and Marcus Semien talked about it as well, about how those games in Florida, there were more fans there for the visiting team than there were for the Blue Jays. I just never... I always looked at that. Baseball to me is the one sport where that wouldn't matter because Robbie Ray, I don't think is going to gain an extra 2 miles an hour because there's fans in the stands.
I think it helps the lineup. They're the youngest lineup in baseball.
You think it really has?
Occasionally, okay. He needs some. You know,
I just thought to me of all the sports and of all the sports out there, the sport that is least impacted by crowd.
Okay, let me ask
baseball.
You a question. If you come to your home stadium and more people are cheering for the visiting team than they are for you, how would that make you feel? Very good.
Well, but
you want to be cheered for.
I'd be looking at that.
Especially
that
late
day
games
starter.
When it matters, and I mean that helps obviously, but offensively.
Okay.
You played.
That's why I'm asking you. You played.
I don't want to go to my home park and be booed.
Yeah, booed necessarily, just not cheered. I didn't hear a lot of booing in Dunedin. Was there a lot of booing for the Blue Jays in Dunedin? I don't know. I
did hear someone, Bo, was taking the big giant swing in Dunedin. Stay right there, Bo. I heard some of those. Okay, I did hear some of that.
All right.
Anyway. I mean, that's home field advantage as much as I hate to say this for the greatest team in baseball.
What I wonder about this, though, is the Jays know. See, last year they were in Buffalo. And pretty much knew you're going to finish the year in Buffalo. I mean, you pretty much did. The chances of the team coming back north to play games were
how confident you think
obvious.
The Blue Jays are? They think they're going
to
come back here.
No, but what I'm saying is, so there was a sense of permanency to Buffalo.
Yeah,
and guys made the best of it. Can you make the best of it a second time in a season
if you're winning?
All right.
It's all about winning. That's all like right. that. Oh, they got a great clubhouse. Are they winning?
Okay.
That's what makes a good clubhouse. Because usually when you're winning, your best players are doing what they're supposed to do. When their best players are doing what they're supposed to do, they're happy. When they're happy, they talk a lot. They have fun a lot. When they're not doing what they're supposed to do, they're not having a lot of fun. They're not talking a lot. They're in a bad mood a lot. That makes for a bad clubhouse. You know, everybody loves that clubhouse thing. Oh, boy, just loaded with a bunch of good dudes in a – it's a cool clubhouse to walk through, and normally that means they're winning.
Vernon Wells, 3-time All-Star, 3-time Gold Glove winner, Silver Slugger Award winner. He is part of our Blue Jays Central crew, and we're going to talk to Vernon, and we're going to take the conversation a bunch of different places. One of them in particular, and this kind of does tie into hockey, so bear with me. Vernon finished his career with the New York Yankees. I'm going to ask Vernon. Was the pressure of playing for a team like the Yankees greater than the pressure of playing for a team like the Blue Jays?
1,000%.
Or playing like the Angels? Well, we'll find out. We'll talk to Vernon Wells next. This is Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. All right, a reminder, we will be taking your calls on Writer's Block. 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. We'll be taking your Leafs calls. We'll be doing that in the 3 o'clock hour. And don't be calling up with like, oh, they got to trade Mitch Marner for Jack Eichel. Oh, they got to trade Mitch Marner for Seth Jones. No.
Why can't they say that? If that's how they're feeling.
You're not going to trade Mitch Marner's contract in a depressed salary cap. I got the answer for the Leafs.
Don't play him when it matters.
Tell you what, Mike Babcock knew what he was doing when he didn't have Marner and Matthews together.
Oh.
I know what I can fix the Leafs. I can make 2 moves today that'll fix the Leafs.
Okay, Jeff.
But
what
I'm not
going
to do I'm going to save that for Writer's Block.
Oh.
I'm going to do it now.
Make sure you tune in, everybody.
590-590-416. And we'll have experts on. We'll have people like Justin Bourne, people who know what the hell they're talking about. 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590-590-590. Is the text line. People are already texting us. Which is good. We want that. We want you to vent. Venting is good. Shout out, by the way, to Team Canada.
Yeah.
Eh? Kicked some serious Colombian ass.
Well, yeah.
3-headed no-hitter. Come on.
You kidding me?
There you go. So shout out to the boys down in West Palm Beach. Sure is. Damn right, as we know all too well in this city.
Ooh, all day. Mm. You're going to be here all day, aren't you?
No. We're just here to kind of get us through the day, and we'll hand it over to Tim and friends, and they'll walk the folks through that, and then it'll be all good. It'll be all done.
Fire Charlie by the seventh inning.
Jesus. Yeah, that's what...
It's happening.
Oh, stop. What?
Oh, it's happening.
You think that people aren't that upset at Charlie Montoya already, are they? Come on.
Yeah, I mean...
That's just stupid.
Is it?
Yes. Of course it's dumb. It's a different era. You don't fire the manager the way you used to fire the manager, because it's a collaborative deal. We've talked, now you get me going. We talked about this. God. Do we have Vernon yet?
Yes.
Why are you nodding at me like that? Vernon Wells, how are you, my friend? Sorry you had to hear us prattle on. What's up, man?
I'm doing well, guys. Yeah, I think for a little bit there, you guys were speaking a different language. I'm talking about hockey. I didn't understand what you were saying.
Yeah,
well, I get it now.
Yeah, well, it was a fairly significant hockey game last night in Toronto.
I noticed.
The Leafs choked, and, that's kind of where we are. Before I talk about baseball, I did want to ask you, so you played in New York for the Yankees. Was that really that much different than playing in Los Angeles or Toronto? Because of the weight of, the weight of expectations and different type of historical pressure in the Yankees, right? The Yankees, you got to win a World Series to make everybody happy. In Toronto, you just win a playoff series and you get the keys to the city if you're a hockey player, basically.
It is different. And it's an experience that you don't think would actually happen. Like, you walk into a clubhouse and you put the pinstripes on, and there is an expectation of winning regardless of who's in the lineup and things like that. So it was different to be a part of it, but playing in front of those fans, they're passionate, but they know the game of baseball. So it's not necessarily always a matter of numbers. It's a matter of how you approach the game, how you handle the media, how you handle the fans. There's a lot that they actually pay attention to, and they respect guys for different things.
Okay, Vernon, Marcus Semien here is obviously having a great month, and George Springer hopefully will be back sooner than later. Who knows when that'll be, but hopefully it'll be sooner than later. And, we like to on this show talk about where Marcus Semien might hit.
You like to talk about where Marcus Semien will hit.
Okay, well, you have to. And you're sort of the perfect guy to ask this to. Because I looked up your stats, where you hit the most when you were a baseball player, and you had over 3,000 at-bats hitting third, and you had over 1,900 hitting fourth. Now, if there was a guy in front of you, obviously of George Springer coming back, he's going to lead off. That's a fact, right? You pay him that much money, he's probably going to hit wherever he wants to hit, and we think that's going to be the leadoff spot. But Marcus Semien's been really hot hitting, lead off and hitting a lot of home runs and hitting for high average and that kind of thing. If somebody like Bo Bichette, if you walked up to Bo Bichette and you were Bo, and you said, okay, it's easier for us to move you down than to move Marcus Semien down, would that be okay with you? Would you handle that okay, or you think that will be an issue?
Well, in your ideal world, who are your first four hitters?
Well, it'd be George. It would be, depending on how you feel about Bo. I like Bo hitting in the two spot, Vladdy and Teoscar. That would be my first four. But again, you can argue that Marcus Semien's earned the right to hit in those first four, one of those first four spots. That's the issue, right? Do you put Marcus in the two spot, or do you move him down to, say, the six spot?
I would kick around the idea of putting Marcus in the three hole. I understand getting Vladdy up in the first, but if with the way that he's getting on base, the way that Bo is capable of getting on base, and if Springer's back healthy and being a spark for that lineup, you have more people on in front of Vladdy. So if you're trying to stack your lineup and you move Teoscar to five and Marcus continues to swing the bat the way that he is and doing the things that he's capable of doing, I think that's the most potent lineup you can put together at this point.
Yeah, it's an interesting thought. It's one of those things. I guess it's a good, everybody says it's a good problem to have. The fact that you're moving guys around who are actually hitting pretty well. My only concern, and we talked about this with Marcus Semien, is, you know, this is a guy who's already, now he's come here, he's changed position, he's got a year left, and then he's a free agent, so he probably wants to make some money, and he's already agreed to change position, and he's coming off one of the best months of his career, and, you know, in another week or so, you may be asking him to move position. But I mean, I guess that's, players always say it's a business, and I guess that's part of the business if you're Marcus Semien, right?
It is. It is part of it. And guys have changed positions, and since he's already done it and showed the ability to do it, and everybody knows he can still play shortstop, and he'd probably adapt to whatever position he was put in. But I think when it comes, the value comes in what he's able to do at the plate as a free agent or as an incoming free agent. That's where you make your money. And when you talk about lineups, you talk about comfort zones, you talk about being comfortable with who's in front of you, who's behind you. All of that plays into the psyche of a hitter. So for him, I think he would actually be more suitable in the three hole than the four spot, just because Vladdy has the ability to hit for power without trying to. And Marcus does too, but Vladdy more so, and he's not going to change his approach. Some cases you move guys to a four spot and you kind of have that thought in your mind, I got to hit for more power. And Vladdy can do that just waking up out of bed. So that's why I say he'd be better fit to hit in a three hole. And it's, if he shows him hitting a three hole and be productive, his value continues to go up.
Well, other than Vladdy's appearance, what do you think's been the biggest difference offensively for him early on the season here?
He knows himself. I think he knows what he's capable of doing more so now than he has before. Obviously, being in better shape and those things, being in better shape and the work that it takes to do what he's done, you want that to pay off for young guys. And when it pays off for young guys, then they kind of solidify that this is where they need to be and this is how they're going to best compete and help their team win. And that was the biggest thing for me going into the season, was all the hard work that he put into it. You want to see reward for that. And when guys don't see reward for that, then that's where things start to go sideways mentally, because now you're confused on what do you need to do to be successful. And I think now that he's figured that out, knows that it takes the work for his body to be where it needs to be, and he's being rewarded for it. His eye-hand coordination, his power, his natural raw power is special. And I'm glad he is where he is, because that's where he deserves to be.
Now, Vernon, there's a lot of talk about how this team has changed its approach at the plate almost collectively and thinking more opposite field and up the middle. I mean, everybody talks about wanting to do that, but last year this team talked about wanting to do it, but at the end of the day, guys ended up pulling a lot of balls because guys are going to do that. How hard is it? I mean, is there such a thing as a team-wide approach to hitting? You know, when you've got so many, you got guys who are different players, they may bat from, one guy bats from the left, one guy bats from the right, different athletes, et cetera, et cetera. Is there such a thing as a team-wide approach to hitting?
Well, there is. Whether guys are capable of doing it better than others, that's kind of where you draw the line of who's capable of doing what changes are. And you'll see that in a lineup of guys who are struggling to do some things, and that's part of the process of adjusting to a team-wide approach. At the same time, as an individual, you have to know your strength and try to work within what the team is trying to do. And in some of the lineups I was in, we put up ridiculous numbers and had guys from top to bottom hitting home runs. I think we had seven guys hit 21 year, at least 21 year. And the approach was all kind of the same. It was, if you get an off-speed pitch, hammer it up in the zone and take your chances, or, you know, hunting fastballs early. But with the velocity, what it is these days, I think there needs to be a bigger focus on just trying to get the barrel to the ball. And that opens up the entire field. If you're just trying to do the simple things, allow them to supply the power, which they are, with the velocity. And all you have to do is really concentrate on trying to square the ball up, because that in its simplest form is the hardest thing to do in any sport. So trying to create launch angles and create things when pitching is getting more and more difficult to hit, I think it's counterproductive for our hitters. And it's good to see a Blue Jay lineup and an Astros lineup, teams like that, trying to do the little things of just changing the script of what's going on in baseball, and that's striking out all the time and getting no hit.
Do you think Major League Baseball has an issue with the substances that pitchers are using to get more spin rate, to get more break on breaking balls? And if you do think there's an issue, what do you think baseball needs to do about it?
I mean, honestly, I'm too far from the clubhouse to know what's actually going on. I've heard stories here and there, and it goes back to several different things. It goes back to when their steroids were prevalent and no one was saying anything about it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's always been certain things for guys to try to take advantage of and get a leg up on the competition. I mean, that's kind of what the game has always been. I think, yes, it needs to be addressed because sign stealing was addressed for those that were bold enough to hit trash cans and be that blatant about it. But all those things have been addressed. So this needs to be addressed if there is an actual issue of what's going on, and figure it out, get it behind us and continue to move on and try to create a game that everybody loves to watch again.
Vernon, good stuff as always. Great to talk to you again. Stay safe. Be well.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Thank you guys.
Vernon Wells, Blue Jay Central.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a tough sale to ask Bo to go, say, from hitting second to sixth. I know Siddle came on here yesterday. Well, I think that's what Siddle said, right? Moving him to the sixth spot. That'd be a tough sale. Like, again, it's you know,
that was
we talked about this, too, of one of the guys on your team that you think could win an MVP is Bo and Vladdy. And they're sort of joined at the hip when it comes to where they're hitting in the lineup. And to actually ask a guy. And then also it's going to be a tough sale to ask Marcus Semien, oh, by the way, you just won player of the month. But kid, it's okay if you move down to the sixth hole because we think it makes our team better. Ah.
I will say this. I found the idea, that, and as Vernon was talking about this, I understand his point with Vladdy. And that Vladdy's going to kind of hit wherever you put him.
I think
him.
So too, yeah.
Do you do that? Do you go Bo third? This would get to your point. You just talked about move everybody down. Move everybody
again,
down.
Again, it would be a tough sell to Teoscar. Teoscar is...
But you know what you're doing? He's
invested in a cleanup spot.
Exactly. But at the same time, is it not a way to ensure that you don't ruffle feathers? Instead of saying, hey, we're asking you to move. Or we're asking him to move. We're saying, hey, guys, you know what? We're also going to move down one.
Yeah, I think too, if you see the GM go out and get a couple of arms from the bullpen and he's doing his job, and then he can basically say, or the manager can call everybody in the office and go, hey, they're doing their part. Now it's up to us. Just basically fill in a spot, and you go out there and do your thing, and we score a bunch of runs, and we win a bunch of games that way. And it's, you know, it's all the things are sort of joined together. And
of course, there's one thing that we're missing here, too.
George Springer?
No, and I'm not saying this to be a smartass, believe it or not, but I'm sure there's an analytical component to this that we'll have to factor in.
I guess.
No, I'm sure there is with this organization. That's just the way it is. There's no point in railing against it. Maybe there's some sort of analytics. I don't know.
I mean, these players do have feelings.
Yeah, I'm just not certain it's as easy as that. We mentioned the Jays are playing their home games now in Buffalo. Tonight will be the first game this year in Buffalo. You can go online and check some of the renovations they've made to the stadium. There is one Blue Jays player in particular I am willing to bet is so happy to be in Buffalo. And I'm going to credit the texter who told me to look up this guy's numbers in Buffalo in a few minutes. It's Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Oh, yeah, that was entertaining off air there, Barker making fun of how I say garage.
Be nice.
Carlos in Simcoe. If the Blue Jays want to truly contend while playing in Buffalo, they need to have Rowdy Tellez in the lineup as much as possible. Rowdy seems to perform at his best at Salem Field. That's from Carlos and Simcoe. Well, Carlos and Simcoe, I didn't believe you. So I checked. And you were wrong. He hits 360 in Fenway Park. At Salem Field in Buffalo, Carlos, he's only hitting 348 with a 1.136 OPS. Five home runs. That's last year. I don't have the AAA numbers in front of me. That's last year. So, Carlos, you were right. I was just, you know, funning with you there. Mm. All right, Barker. Hits the snot out of the ball in Boston. Hits the snot out of the ball at Salem Field. Any similarities there at all?
I use the whole field. Ball flies. Buffalo ball flies. Trust me. I played there way too much. I've said this to you already.
I know you have already.
He gets a good pitch to hit. I don't think it really matters what ballpark he's in because he has a lot of power. And he has a lot of power line to line, which doesn't come around every day. But he stands straight up and down. And when you stand up straight up and down and you got a lot of gain to make up from when your front foot starts to the time it lands.
Didn't he make an adjustment last year?
No.
I thought he made an adjustment and went back to it.
You know, mechanically, he might have been right. He started zoning up a bit more. I know he was talking about that on his Zoom calls where he was looking for certain locations. Well, don't look like that's what he's looking for now. He's basically swinging at everything until he zones up and he looks for one little area and he, until two strikes, doesn't chase. You're going to see the valleys instead of more peaks, but he has a lot of confidence going to Buffalo. Yeah, because of that fact is he's had success there. He knows if he gets a good pitch middle away, he doesn't have to pull that.
Yeah, I'm looking at his years, not his years with Buffalo, but I'm looking at in particular 2013. He hit .270 at Buffalo with 13 homers. So I would presume that's for the Buffalo Bisons, not necessarily all those games in Buffalo. But I mean, Carlos was right. He looked really good last year playing at Salem, mm-hmm. playing at Salem Field. What is he when George Springer comes back and this team has to make all these moves? Is there room for Rowdy in this team?
Nope.
You don't think there is, eh? Nope. Vladdy's defense is pretty much the one. What I will say, I think, and see if you agree, I think maybe the one crack there, the yeah, but in all the Rowdy stuff was, boy, what if Vladdy can't play defense every day and then you have to DH him and blah, blah, but I want Vladdy at first base every day.
Yeah.
Absolutely want him at first base
every day. Yeah, I think that you're going to have to mix around all the DH spots with Randall Grichuk and George Springer and Teoscar Hernandez and Vladdy. Where's Rowdy fit into all that? He doesn't. You know, the next 50 at-bats, he's going to get some at-bats. They got some right-handed pitching coming up
yep.
in that ballpark. You know, analytics, they've looked at the same numbers that the Texer and you have looked at, and they know exactly those kind of numbers, and they know they're going to play him. And, you know, bat pass and all these kind of things and ball flying to left field, and he can go inside out and still be productive. But, you know, I do say this. The one guy that can – you know, it has his fate in his hands is mm-hmm. Rowdy. Because if Rowdy rakes, they'll make room for whatever reason. Right. They'll not take as many bullpen arms. They'll whatever. Send Santiago Espinal down, which what they like to do. Rowdy's hitting. They'll find a spot for Rowdy, and he can pinch hit, and he can DH occasionally. But if he don't, what's the point?
Yeah, no, it's
Like, people not afraid of Rowdy anymore.
Yeah.
They're not. They know they can get him out and not have to make a perfect pitch to do it. And until he shows the organization different than that. Right now, it's just another guy, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. I mean, I just think you're almost getting to the point where with Rowdy, you have to either decide, look, and I don't, I'm not saying here trade everybody or anything like that. I'll wait for the Leafs segment coming up later. But, you're almost at a point where you gotta wonder.
Can you trade a whole hockey team? A whole team?
I don't know who'd want them. No, you can't.
All right.
I have plenty of time to be a smart ass. But I was kind of hoping that they would see Trevor Rogers of the Marlins. Where they miss Trevor Rogers.
Yeah.
Who's having a terrific year. Is this a good time for this team to be facing a team that pitches well? For the Jays to be facing the team that pitches well? Coming off that, you know, they took 2 of 3 from Cleveland, or they lost that doubleheader, the second game in Cleveland. Now they're getting the Marlins. Is this a good time for them to be facing a team like that?
It's never a good time to face good pitching if you're a hitter. What's good pitching do?
Well, gets you out.
Like, you know, they're going to have to get a good pitch to hit. They're not going to have to, they're going to try and keep the chasing limited. And you got to zone up to what you do well. You can't free swing. You know, it's the there's only one Bo Bichette who can go up and think he can hit everything. And then there's everybody else. And everybody else has to zone up. And, you know, Randall has to get it in his zone where he same planes a lot with his barrel. Mm-hmm. He has to get it in that zone. If he gets it there, he's going to hit it hard somewhere. Teoscar Hernandez is sort of the same way, right? He's hitting it where it pitched more this year than he ever has because he's getting a good pitch to hit. You can't chase in off the plate. You can't chase away off the plate. You can't chase down off the plate. He's laying off the ball up. It's borderline. He's getting a good, better pitch to hit. And when you're a good hitter, you got good hand-eye coordination and good bat-to-ball skills. Normally good things will happen. And the lineup's really good. You've got to – pitchers know now, even they're really right-handed dominant, they got to work hard. They got to make good pitches. They got to think a little ahead. They can't power through this order now because of the stats I read off. That's why I wanted to read them to everybody, is the hitting the fastballs. That's a big deal. You hammer fastballs because what is it now? Everybody wants to throw hard. And when you're at a good team and can do that, now they have to think of something else to do. Mm. And when you think of something else to do, that usually means you hang something, and that's when the Blue Jays do a lot of damage. And just don't go outside the box. Don't try and do anything different. And play to the park. Now, line to line, they're going to notice that in batting practice because they played there last year and, you know, the warm air. And
Who gets the ball in the ninth inning for you, close game tonight?
Romano.
Okay.
Dolis, you know, he makes you scratch your head a little bit between the times he pitched and what did he throw, 13 pitches, and then he couldn't pitch the second game. Make you wonder. Mm-hmm. Makes me wonder.
Mm-hmm. But it's –
Tyler Chatwood's not getting it. You know, he's getting it with a 5-run lead or losing by 5 runs. You got to find out if he trusts his stuff enough now to throw it in the zone. Because right now it's not mechanical for me with him. It's trust. It's having faith. He was fearless for a little while. He ain't that now. Hmm. He's got to show you that before. For me, he pitches again, and that leaves it to where you're relying on what? You're relying on the A.J. Coles. And why didn't A.J. Cole pitch? It'd make you wonder, too.
Yeah.
The Tim Mazes, you know, Tim Mazes is not any good. Let's say it the way it is. So who do you go to? You got two guys. You got to be real careful when you use them, obviously. They're wrapping them in bubble wrap. And if you're Charlie, man, you're just hoping that Robbie Ray goes 7-plus. And then it's real simplified then. Now you're thinking of two guys instead of three or four mm-hmm. guys. Because three or four, who are you going to? You know I got two guys, and they're rested, and I think I can use them, hopefully. Who's the other two guys? You're flipping a coin, and you're throwing three or four names against the wall, and you're basically just leaning back with your eyes closed and picking one of them and going, open it real. Oh, that's who we're going with, and hopefully that guy works out. And that's not a good feeling.
Yeah, I think it's pretty clear that in Charlie's mind, at least right now, Jordan Romano that's his best high leverage option.
There's 99 with a slider. I don't know what else, what more do you want?
Yeah.
He's trusting his 99 now. I know he sprinkled in a couple of get me over sliders, which I don't like that. I think that's useless. All that means is the pitch count goes up. He doesn't need to be a 22 pitch guy in an inning. No. You're like a 16, 15, 14 pitch guy. It's 99.
Yeah.
Use it and then feed off of that. And you can devastate people in three pitches. And it's over. And then you move on to the next guy and you're throwing 10, 11 pitches. And then maybe, just maybe, they can use it the next day.
Tomorrow's Alec Manoa Day. You know that?
How about that? And we're taking calls?
I guess so, yeah. Take Leafs calls tomorrow.
How about that?
No.
I thought you were doing that today.
No, we're taking Leafs calls. In the next hour, we'll take be walk off Wednesday tomorrow. So we'll be well. I'm sure that the Jays will give us something to talk about. Hopefully, it's not another bullpen meltdown because they're hard. I find them hard to talk about because it's so different. It used to be that it was always the manager made the decision or the pitching coach.
I'll say that.
And it was easy. You know, it was easy. It was like the easiest story to write. Bullpen meltdown. These were the options, yada, yada. Manager went with this, yada, yada, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Boom, you move on. You can't just rail against the manager now because we know that it's not just
the manager.
I'll say this. If it happens again, I'm calling Nate Pearson and go, I want you to be a two-pitch guy. Can you throw a four-seamer at 99
See,
and a change-up down the way?
I've been saying that all along, and you've been looking at me like I got three heads.
I'm with you. But it's one of those times where you have a good team. The Yankees not real good right now. They're losing some teams they normally don't lose to. The window's open.
You know who's not losing,
Maybe
though.
Walk through it. That's one team. They're separating themselves from everybody else. But maybe you go that route. Because you realistically think they can make a trade that's halfway decent? Can you package a Rowdy Tellez with whoever else and get you two bullpen? They need two guys. Not one guy. Two guys.
I don't think
they're not going back-to-back with most guys now. It's just H.P. Barber won't let them do that. You need two guys.
Yeah, I don't think. If they were going to make that type of deal, make it now. Because you're either going to have to make it now or you're going to have to make it later in the year. I don't think they want to do that. I think philosophically, whatever they may say, philosophically, I don't think they want to make that sort of raise-ish deal right now.
I think they should, with everything they've been through as an organization and where they play their home games. And
I've said this thing about Nate Pearson before. What the hell are we waiting for? Yeah. Anyhow. Barker, we'll be back tomorrow.
You promise?